Blog Talk Radio.
As the guitar fades out there, great stuff from Pete Fry. Thank you, Pete, for giving us our great intro that we've been using over the past year. This is Steven Zimmer, and this is the Star Chamber Show live podcast, episode number 208, for those of you keeping score. And we're coming at you from the heartland of the United States here. We got myself broadcasting from Lexington, Kentucky, to the south. We have Daniel Dark, and coming from a little bit west of us, not too far, is the amazing Michael West. So three of us are with you tonight, and welcome, gentlemen, and hope you're holding up in the strange times we're in. Hope you guys are all doing well.
Doing all right.
Yeah.
All right.
Just talking, you know, we had that, you know, great toilet paper scare, you know, 2020 now, so, you know, we've got to move on from that and everything and go to, you know, when we found out that there's aliens and everything out there, the great aluminum foil scare will happen next, so.
Yeah, that's coming next, but folks, we like to help you in the Star Chamber Show, so we will tell you advice. Small towns, dollar stores, you got your best shot at toilet paper in those places, and they often put them out on Thursdays, which is tomorrow. So that's your helpful hint from the Star Chamber Show for those of you out of toilet paper. And we are being joined right away in this chat room by Carol Preflatish, who of course has the new mystery novel Homecoming to Murder. We have Sandy Lender, and we have Kenzie Michaels already in the chat room. So it is working and building up fast. So. But yeah, that's,
we
that's
have no guys
tip.
In the chat room. Let's show
not yet.
Equality here, yo.
Yeah, Tommy B. Smith. I know he's usually lurking about in the chat room, and yeah, I'm sure he'll log in at some point. And he's had a harrowing week because he had a in hindsight, you know, we can all have a little bit of humor, but yeah, he was sitting had a car drive through his neighbor's house across the street because they decided to evade the cops after drinking a lot. So it didn't work out too well, obviously, for the driver. But, nobody got hurt. Nobody, and from what I heard, they got the person. So, actually, poor Tommy had a car drive into a house across the street from him like a day or two ago. So,
unbelievable.
He's had his share of adventure, yeah. But, we
have that
happen
down
crazy.
Here, and then after a while, they finally put up guardrails and everything for it.
Yeah. There's a lot of loons out there, I swear. Yeah, you got to watch. You be careful. And, especially those that choose to do reckless things like that. But, just hope all you all are safe. I know it's, for us creatives, it's a little bit of an extra stressful time with, you know, the fact that we tend to be, you know, emotional, sensitive, artistic types, and so hang in there, folks. I know it's not the easiest roads right now, but we are here tonight to bring you a little bit of cheer, and we definitely got the guest for it coming up just shortly. But first of all, it's great to hear Michael and Daniel. So I want to find out what you guys have been doing, and this is what it's all about, finding out and connecting a little bit tonight, best we can.
It's been kind of surreal. The few times that I've gone to the store for this, that, and the other, it's interesting. For instance, we have a Meijer that's not too far away from us, which. If I'm between Meijer and Walmart, it's always Meijer that I go to. but it's like you go into the non-grocery side, you know, even where all the medications and everything are, but you go into the non-grocery side, and it looks like, you know, any other day. And then you get over to the grocery side, and it looks like a tornado went through.
It's weird. I mean, I know what you mean.
Yeah, we went to the frozen food section, my son and I, and I wasn't planning on getting anything. It was just him that wanted some lunch stuff. But he ended up finding the only thing that he could find that he got was a pre-made ramen meal. I'm like, really? You're going to buy frozen ramen, you know? But it was like ramen with mushrooms and pork or whatever. But so he got that. And the only thing, and I saw sitting on, the only thing that was in this whole frozen food section was, you know, that Brazilian cheesy bread?
Mm-hmm.
The little round puffs of bread that have cheese in. They had two different flavors of that. One was a garlic Asiago, and the other was a three cheese pizza. I'm like, those sound good. So I got those, but those were the only things left in the entire frozen food section at Meijer.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's weird to stuff that's cleaning, going off the shelf. Yeah. It's strange.
Yeah. And then, and some of it I could see, like, you got your kids at home, whatnot, you're going to get the chicken nuggets and the frozen pizzas. I can understand that. But I mean, for everything to be gone, you know,
well, it was like,
I mean,
last week when I went there, you know, I looked down the frozen food aisle, you know, you got all these big coolers and everything all the way down Walmart. And
right.
They're all glass doors. You can see inside of them. And
right.
There's not even any boxes in there. You're just like, huh.
Well, and my wife goes to the hospital, and she takes those, you know, have you ever had or seen the Kind breakfast bars?
Yeah.
So she takes those with her. So I was getting her some of those. People had opened all the boxes and taken individual bars out.
Why?
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I mean, like, you're afraid that you're going to be totally without, so it's like you just like, oh, I want a dark chocolate peanut butter, but I don't want the whole box. I just want one. I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Are
those sold as a box, or are they sold individually?
No, they're sold. I mean, I don't know if they're sold individually, like, by the registers or whatnot, but these are boxes that are like, you know, they come like six to eight or whatever in a box.
Yeah.
And the boxes were open, and there were some missing out of each one.
Oh my God.
That's about as bad as the other day. My wife brought me in some Pringles, and I went to open up one of the canisters, and it was already open, and about half the Pringles were gone.
Oh no.
I'm just like, well, I don't know who's been eating out of this one, but I'm going to throw this one in the trash now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've got, and you know, it's like we're pretty lucky compared to a lot of people out there. But we, the only want that I really have, if I can find it, is hand soap and hand sanitizer. I mean, right now I have some. But I don't know how much longer it's going to last, and I don't want to hoard it. You know, I don't want to get 15 of them. I would just like, you know, one big one that would last me a few weeks. You know.
Yeah. Well, there are some home recipes, and talk to Holly. She knows how to make some amazing hand sanitizer kind of stuff, just scratch.
Yeah.
Some various things.
I mean, that's,
yeah. There's
that's
never
what,
well, awesome. See, go. Go to the package store, get you some PGA, and pour that on your hands. Every, you know, splash your face with it and everything. Get in the car, go driving.
Right.
Well, I mean, that was the thing. It's like my wife. For those of you who are following my feeds, and whatnot, know that, you know, what she's been going through the last year, but. She had a oncologist appointment, and usually if she just has labs drawn where they're just telling her what, you know, what her white cell count is and her, you know,
right.
liver, you know, enzymes and all that stuff. I don't usually go to those appointments. But anytime she has a CT scan and they're actually giving her results on growth and shrinkage and multiplication and whatnot, I'm always with her for those.
Right.
And this is the only appointment I haven't been able to go to because they weren't letting anyone into the hospital who was not actually being seen. If I would have gotten in, I would have had to wait in the waiting room. So she told me just not to even come in. The news was overwhelmingly positive, though, because as the oncologist told her, 49 out of 50 tumors being either under control or shrinking is not bad. she does have one stubborn one that we've been watching for some time that's there by her pancreas, and so she does have an appointment on the 21st of April with a surgeon to actually have that one removed. But overall, given the alternatives, I've got to be pretty pleased.
Are they going to
be?
Well,
we love you, Michael, and best to Stephanie, because I know it's been just a awful ordeal for you guys, but. Glad at least it's moving in a good direction from what I can tell from your brother.
Michael,
are they going to be able to do that under microscopic, or are they going to have to go in full to do
that?
Yeah,
you know, I asked her because I thought for sure that they would do that something like that laparoscopic, because when I had my gallbladder removed and stuff like that, it was all done laparoscopic. But she's convinced that, and, you know, she's around it more than I am, that they would have to actually, you know, open her up to do it. But they're going to take the tumor and they're going to take her spleen, because the spleen is what filters that and sends the little spores or whatever cells all over her body. So they're going to take the spleen out as well.
She'd lose her pancreas too, or?
Well, we'll find out more on the 21st of April, but it's always been unclear whether it's in the soft tissue around the pancreas or whether it's actually on the pancreas.
Okay.
Because it's not pancreatic cancer. It's a sarcoma. It's a cell. They almost calcify. They're almost like they mimic bone. But it's there, and it's either in the soft tissue right next to the pancreas, or it's on the tail of the pancreas. So they're either going to remove the tumor, or they're going to remove the tumor with the little tail end of her pancreas. But she's been a diabetic for some time, so it's not.
So
like
is it almost like having kidney stones developing inside your body instead of the kidney or something?
That's the way it sounds to me. Yeah, because I love her oncologist. Her oncologist is just the best. The man can do no wrong in my book. He's got a great bedside manner and just is just a font of information. And he loves his whiteboards. He'll get up there and he'll draw diagrams and go over every little thing. You know, it's great. But you know, from his explanation, it's like, you know, when you have lung cancer, which, you know, at first that's what they thought this was because they manifested in her lungs. But when you have actual lung cancer, what it's doing is the cells are mutating, the lung cells themselves are mutating so that they're no longer performing the function of lung cells.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What this is doing is it's just these little calcified tumors that aren't really doing anything. If they're left alone, they would grow to the point where they would take up too much space and she wouldn't be able to breathe that way. But they're not really interfering with her lungs' ability to be a lung. So they're very slow growing, which is a blessing as well. So, in the realm of worst case scenarios, we've had the best of worst case scenarios. So we continue to fight on. So,
well, definitely, definitely.
Well, just tell her that we do not know enough about silicone-based life forms for her to become one yet.
Oh,
at least she doesn't have acid for blood.
Yeah. That's good. Oh, man. Well, we'll go ahead and do our two sponsors for tonight because we do have our awesome, awesome guest on deck as we speak. So we're just running just a hair behind, but we will definitely want to recognize this week. We have Renmelian is our sponsor, and she is just an amazing talent. God, what a creative. I mean, she's an artist, an author, an editor, a publisher, an instructor. I mean, she does teaching professionally. Fantastic. And here is a little bit about her coming at you right now.
Have you hit a wall with your story and you're not sure where it's going anymore? Feeling uninspired? Need a book that doesn't look like it's self-published? Hire Muse with 33 years experience as an illustrator, writer, and designer. Hi, I'm Renmelian. You can find me everywhere online with a quick search, Renmelion. Thanks for tuning into the Star Chamber.
Thank you, Renmelian. You are absolutely fantastic. I appreciate you becoming a sponsor of the show. And definitely check Renmelian out, Renmelion. That's right. I had to pause there and make sure I got that right. And our second sponsor of the night is, of course, the great Jumpmaster Press. We love Gene Rowley, Kyle Hanna, and the great folks at Jumpmaster Press. I know it's not been the most fun of times because they do a lot of events. So we love you guys. Hang in there because you got some great, great products. So here we go, Jumpmaster Press, and hopefully they'll be opening fire in a figurative way soon with a renewed convention schedule.
Attention authors, stop sending ebook readers away empty-handed. With the Jump Card ID, sell your books directly without the need for an online retailer. The Jump Card instant download exclusively from Jumpmaster Press could be your ticket to more sales, more readers, and international distribution. Find out more about the Jump Card ID today at www.jumpmasterpress.com.
Oh, I love that spot. Angie, that's such a nice spot. Jumpmaster Press, thank you guys, and love you guys, and hang in there, like I said. And looks like our guest is on deck. Are you ready, crowd? Are you ready? Yep. The audience is already cheering, and of course, this is an amazing, award-winning author, editor, storyteller, just an all-around fantastic person who gave just a phenomenal keynote speech about we are colleagues, not competitors, at last year's Imaginarium, and she is back on the Star Chamber show and one of our absolute favorite people. Welcome to the show, Sally Ann Monti. Sally Ann, you are on the Star Chamber. There she is. I hope.
Do we have a Monti?
I hope so. Do we have you, Sally Ann?
I think I had you. I think I was muted. I'm
there
sorry.
There you are.
I had a great opening, but no one heard it.
We'll do it again. You are live.
Hi, everybody. That's it. That's all I got. I love you. I'm here to talk about love, love for each other, love for the planet, love for healing, and whatever else you guys want to talk about.
We need
it. I have love songs.
So
I have sexy love poems. I have love stories. Let's see. I have lovely friends like you guys.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm done being
silly.
No,
good to
never be.
We
done
need
being
more silly,
hun.
Yeah, it's all right. We need it. So,
if we can't be silly,
Sally,
who can?
That's right.
Besides the government.
Yeah. But how are you doing, Sally?
I stay away
from
the G-spot very much.
Yeah.
Oh.
Going to be one of those nights. You know, let me interrupt this regularly scheduled program to tell you the last podcast I did was on a show called Denitsa After Dark. And, you know, I didn't really realize to what extent into After Dark she was going to go, but the first question she asked was graphic. I'm sorry, but my brain kind of went down that track. I had a cross in my podcast, so I'll retract that last statement.
Oh, tonight, yeah, we want the good positive vibes, so have fun, of course. And, yeah, it's a weird time. So, yeah, you are the guest we've been looking for to give us a little uplift, for sure. So how have you been, though?
I mean, you're the guest we need, not necessarily the one we deserve.
Yeah, right.
Ditto.
That's good. Nice. How have you been? Bring us up to speed on the world of Sally Ann Monty to get the show underway.
Well, you know, in a nutshell, 2019 was the banner year of my life. I started early on, in about 6 months prior to 2019, I started working with my daughter, who is an intuit and a spiritual counselor and very talented in the use of tarot cards, you know, not as predictors, but as conversation pieces to kind of get into your conscious and subconscious when you have these deep, meaningful conversations as a result of what this card might mean. And in the beginning, I was like, eh, but it really just opened up a part of me that I think I'm just grateful got unlocked in this part, in this lifetime. And I was able to overcome a lot of fears. I was set out to overcome the majority of my fears, and I did that. I performed on a stage in public with Poppy Champlin, a very well-known comedian who goes around the country at Women's Week in P-Town. That was amazing. Hi to my friends Karen, Carol, and Connie and Shelley, and all the other folks I met out there. But anyway, it was that was really big for me. It was something I always wanted to do. But and I did a lot of creative things. I'm writing a poetry book. It's about 70% done. It's going to be released at the end of the year in December. The year was closing out. I got to do a keynote. That was another thing I wanted to do. And I got to do that at the Imaginarium conference with you guys.
Oh, cool.
So that was amazing. And I wanted to always have a singing voice, and I never thought I had a singing voice. And I also never thought I really could play the guitar well. You know, I played it as a kid in the church in a folk group, and I played it until I had babies, and then I put it away for 30 years. And I always would pick up a guitar and think to myself, oh, you suck so bad. I wish I was better. And I would play horribly. And one day my son bought a guitar, and I picked it up, and I didn't have that thought. And I started playing this guitar I hadn't played in 30 years, and I was like, oh, my God, who's making that sound? Oh, God, that's me. And it opened up a lot of it just released some fears. And so I was December 21st, 2019, and my goal was to, by January 1, I was going to sing and out loud, and maybe even publicly, but that was a long shot. And I never sung, like not even in the shower. I never thought I had a singing voice. So it was December 21st, and I was running out of time, and I played this song that I wanted to sing, and I got right past the part, you know, where the intro ends and you're supposed to sing, and I would open my mouth, and this went on for almost 3 months, and nothing would come out. But on December 21st, something came out, which was really weird. I was sitting in my living room with my guitar, and I recorded it and shared it with a friend of mine, and it was the first thing I had ever uttered out of my mouth, and it sounded like, it sounded okay. It didn't sound that horrible, and it's been a journey since there, because I've really gotten to grow in that area as well. And I debuted my singing talent, if you want to call it that, on Facebook Live on New Year's Day as part of a fundraiser. We were able to raise over $700 for the GCLS, Golden Crown Literary Society. People pledged. And if I got up there and sang this song on Facebook Live, they would give the organization their money, so I did it.
Nice.
Which goes to show you, it's motivation, determination, and passion is so much stronger when you're doing something for someone other than yourself. Because I could not get over myself, but I could do it for this greater cause of raising money for an organization that's very near and dear to my heart. That was my 2019. I went to Costa Rica with my wife, Mickey, in January. We had two beautiful weeks there, and we had lived there for 8 years. We had not been back in 5, so we got to have a great time and see all of our friends and this, that, and the other. And we came back, and I don't know what happened after that, because I feel like someone can come in around any time, poke me, and wake me up. That is where that 2020, I'm sure we're all in that same space.
Yep. Yeah, we definitely are. Definitely are. And I'm honored that we were a part of your 2019 first there with the keynote speech. That definitely makes it. I'm so tickled about that. I'm excited about your poetry book. And this is cool. Yeah, the chat room is buzzing with questions about your poetry. And I have to get these questions in, because they're flowing at me. They wanted to ask you if you do free verse, or do you have specific formats, or what styles are you working in for this book?
You know, this is how I wrote my memoir, which is written in novel style, and the way I write my short stories, and the way I write poetry. I come up with a thought, and I do have a poem I'd like to share with you guys tonight. It's not that long, but it's intense, and it's called I Sit and Wait, and it's about a long-distance relationship that was in my life, and you know, you just can't wait until you get an email from that person or a phone call or you hear their voice or you get something in the mail or you see a picture on your phone that reminds you of them or something on Facebook the last time you were together, something like that. And so, you know, we all have that longing when you love somebody and they're not in your life. They're far, far away. And in that moment, I was kind of reflecting in my living room, as I do. We live in a house that has an amazing view of the San Jacinto Mountains, and they're ever-changing by the minute, and it's a very inspirational to write there. So I was sitting there having this woe is me moment, thinking about this experience that I had lived through, and this poem came out, and it's called I Sit and Wait, and that's how the poem starts, and those are the words that are woven into the poem. And then I'm an arc writer. I like to always bring something full circle, so I try to do that even in poetry. I try to do it in my short stories, and I certainly did it in my novel. So that's really how I write everything, and I'm a nonfiction writer. Everything I write, with the exception of some lesbian fiction that I am part of and part of some short story anthologies, my work is all true.
Very cool, and I do have to slip these in because they are in the chat room here. They wanted to, again, poetry related. Do you read poetry at open mic nights, or have you ever participated in a poetry slam? That's the other one of the other questions I got to ask here for you.
I'm going to be honest with you right now. I never considered myself a poet, though I enjoyed thinking about poetry. And up until 2019, I had one poem to my name, and the poem was called The Boobs. And it was all about boobs,
nice.
And it's a comedic poem, and it was very
nice.
Funny. I wrote it for a friend of mine who was boob-obsessed, and that was my experience with poetry, and I did read that poem at several literary conferences, as a matter of fact, and it went over well, so that was pretty cool. But I'd never done an open mic. Until recently, I have had that experience reading some of my poetry that will be in my upcoming book. So
very cool. And final
yes
poetry
and no
question
answer.
For the chat room. Final poetry question from the chat room is, do you write your poetry on pen and paper, or do you do your poetry on, you know, computer, laptop, PC?
You know, usually when I have a moment that I'm going to write a poem, I get the title first. Like this one is I Sit and Wait, and then I get the first few words of it. I would get that first stanza of it in my head, and if I'm lucky enough to have a napkin and a crayon or something that writes nearby me, I could jot it down, because by the time I like grab my phone or laptop to jot it down, it's gone. So I try to always kind of keep something near me, and then I will typically sit with that and write the entire poem anywhere from 10 to 30 minutes, 40 minutes. I do have an 11-page poem entitled Orgasm, which is in the book. And
nice.
That one took more than 10 minutes to write, I will say that. But the majority
nice.
Of them...
Nice.
When it comes to me, it comes to me. That's kind of how they
yeah.
fall out. Because I'm in that moment. I'm in that feeling. I'm feeling all of that angst and pain and missing and longing or love and joy or emotion.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever I'm feeling, I can write it.
Very cool. Well, do you want to share some stuff with us now? I mean, yeah, we can do it. As far as
sure,
yeah,
I'll read this
like
one,
a...
if
yeah.
we have time, you want me to read another one later, that would be cool, too.
Let's go for
this
it.
This poem is called I Sit and Wait, and again, it's a long-distance love relationship where you're on the, you know, you feel like you're always waiting for that person to contact you so, you know, you can breathe clearly again. You can be back, you can be in your life in that moment and not on the edge of despair. And so... this is the poem, I Sit and Wait. I sit and wait. It seems like all I do of late. Stay busy, distracted, putting on my acting. The phone doesn't ring. My email doesn't ding. I sit and twirl my ring from another. A circle of trust clouded by lust. If only it were just that, it would be so easy to retract. It's not. You're in. Deep inside, you are my twin. Flames burning, hearts yearning, minds churning, souls merging. Twisted sheets, growing heat, leaves me hot, sweaty, wanting. The sound of your voice, haunting. You don't fade away, your memory stronger every day, consuming me in every way. You're here to stay, inside me. Where I hide thee, where I sit and wait for you.
Oh, fantastic. Love it. Love it, Kellyanne. That's great. Awesome.
So that's a good example of my style. And the book I'm publishing will have somewhere around 120 poems. In 2019, I wrote 65 poems as part of my part of that inspiration that happened to me in the latter part of the year, and I'm working on the balance of them right now, and it's called Poems and Provocations, Love's Pain and Pleasures, and the first section is Love's Pain, and it's that's an example of the poetry that's in that section. And the second section is Love's Pleasures, and you'll find the 11-page orgasm poem in there and some shower poems and some other sexy poems and things of that nature, which is also a stretch. I don't typically write this way. Don't necessarily have a comfort writing this way, but for some reason I have been inspired to do so.
Well, Kenzie Michael
very
said
good.
About the poem Orgasm, she says, 11 pages. Whew! She said that in the chat room. So,
a friend of mine who is a fellow author, and she's a senior. She's in her 80s, but you would think she's in her 60s. She read the poem for me, and she called me up and said, Oh, my God, I'm still panting. And if someone reads this and doesn't feel anything, they're dead. I said, okay, I guess it was good.
Nice.
And then she called me back the next day and said, she was compelled to read it out loud in her house when her wife came out wondering what was going on.
Fantastic.
And I'll leave the rest of it out. But that's
the
book. It's going to have a bunch of poems in the front. They're mostly easy reads in the sense they're not going to be pages and pages, but they will affect you. So if you want to be affected, this is the book for you.
Yeah, 11 pages.
Oh, yeah, I will be buying a copy. Yeah, you definitely got a sale with me, and I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be awesome, and we'll definitely have to do a whole show around that book release. So that's definite. Yeah, we'll definitely have a show that's all about that book release. But that's fantastic.
Okay, I hope
fantastic.
By then we could all have some real hugs again.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
No kidding. Yeah, I'm a huggy person. I love to hug. So for me, this is just a strange time. I mean, like to the exponential of 10. I mean, right now. So I'm a hugger. So it's tough. It is definitely weird.
I know. I've been hugged by you guys, all of you.
Mm-hmm.
You're good huggers.
I
couldn't say who's better.
You got not only are you hugged
platonic,
by Holly, you got
Holly,
picked up.
Platonic hugs. I
don't
want Holly mad at me. I'm afraid of her.
No. she adores you. She adores you.
I know.
Yeah,
I love her, too.
She sings your praises on like a daily basis here in the house. And of course, I do, too. But, yeah, you are definitely a household name for sure with us. So, for sure.
You know,
but,
when it was the first time I met Holly, because we'd been corresponding in email and whatnot, I'm 5'2", and Holly's, like, not. She's way, way taller.
Yeah.
And the first time we saw each other, I, like, ran to hug her, and she picked me up off the ground as if I were a feather. And it was like, there I was hugging her, my feet dangling, kind of like when I hug Mickey, but, hey, this is the story of my life.
Yeah, she's
strong. But anyway,
it was one of the best hugs I've ever gotten from Holly. Yeah, and that's why I'm always well behaved, because yeah, Holly's a very strong, tough country gal. that keeps us all in line here. But she still talks about that hug to this day. I mean, she just loved that. You've been doing a lot of great stuff online lately, and bringing a lot of cheer to folks, and doing some and you got some cool stuff coming up as well. I'm kind of hinting at your upcoming event online. If you might want to talk about that, because I think that a lot of folks listening will love the activities that are going to happen as a part of what you're organizing.
Sure. Well, several weeks back, this is a short intro. My wife, Mickey, would definitely do well on Survivor, not hanging out with all those people and not being able to take a bath, but her survival skills are unbelievable. So, you know, 2 weeks before the bedlam started, 3 weeks prior, she had us all geared up for what we needed to have in the house. We had this and that and all these things. And I thought she was crazy. I'm like, what are you doing? She said, we're going to be locked in our houses. We have to prepare. And she was unfortunately right. So around that time, I'm like, so we still have, you know, social media, and those connections are so profound, and they've come such a long way. They're not just email anymore. They're not just like IMs. They're video chats. I mean, they're very interactive. So it's like, how fortunate are we if we have to all be quarantined to at least be able to still stay connected to each other? And so I just thought, maybe what about if I did like a one-day, all-day event where people could showcase their talent and entertain each other in a positive way, you know, as a way of building community. And it really is driven by stuff I used to do in the past, going back about 15 years ago. Mickey and I started, we produced these nonprofit entertainment showcases that turned out to be like, we had music, comedy, and literary stuff in there, and we did them once a month, and we gave the money to charity. But it became, the vision was, you're walking into a concert, and all the people around you, you're looking at them, and like, oh, look at that person dressed like John Bon Jovi. What does he think he's doing? You know, you're not really in a positive state of mind. Some of us are, but some of us aren't. And you go in, and you start listening to music, and the next thing you know, you forget about people as people, and people's souls and energy rise up and out of them, and you are connected into one being with this amazing musical experience that leaves you profoundly moved. And as you exit the concert hall or the stadium, these people who you were eyeballing, giving them that old New York side eye that I learned as a child, you're not doing that anymore. You're smiling, and you're engaging them, and you're looking in their eyes, and you're nodding with them, and you're saying, oh, my God, this was so great. And you've had this experience in this moment together. You were one, and that's where it came from. And it was a way to bring the community together, because we were out lesbians in our community, and it was a way to bring the entire community together through entertainment, music, comedy. And they walked in different, and we all left the same. And so that's what I thought we might be able to do virtually. And I put out a call to action. It's going to happen on April 1st. And people sign up. We have over 20 people signed up as comedians, musicians, singers, meditation, cooking demo, handyman tips in a pandemic, you know, what to look for in your house. Still trying to get somebody to do something on how to care for your animals, keep an eye on your animals during this stressful time. So readings and poetry and all kinds of fun stuff. So this was a way for us to all join together more as an intimate group than the vastness of social media through our Facebook, where, you know, you have hundreds of friends and they decide who you get to see when you get to see them. This way we can all follow this program and go to each other's wall as we each do something to connect to each other and to make us feel better. So that's what it is, and it's going to happen on April 1st. And anybody interested in participating in any way at all, please IM me on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. And we are, Holly and I, probably do it from my page, so we can try to cheer up as many people as we can. But we are definitely going to be doing one of those segments for you, and looking forward to it. We'll make it fun and upbeat, and it's going to be a great
yeah.
time. With you. I'm looking forward to it.
And then there'll be a schedule posted. I'll have it, and we'll have it all over the place so people can see who's doing what, when and where.
Yeah, great idea. Because thank God we have social media with all this, as I call it, half-jokingly, our home arrest period. While we're all kind of bunkered down here, social media actually is one of the ways we can reach out and connect and check on people, you know, that we even haven't checked in with for a while, and make sure, you know, everybody's kind of staying on an even keel, because I alluded to it earlier, but it's a rough ride for creatives, because we tend to, like I said, you know, we tend to be more introverted, more emotional, more sensitive, more tuned into that kind of thing, and this is like an overload. So, yeah, we need events like this, and thanks for organizing that.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of folks doing it. Since that time, I've Curve Magazine, which is no longer Curve Magazine, by the way. It's called Curve One World, and what they are doing is 2 month festival, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and theirs might be a little more interactive in the sense there may be a platform where you go to perform, sign in and perform there versus doing it from your own Facebook wall. I'm not exactly sure how they're doing it, but they're going to be doing that every weekend in April and May. And so go to Curve, I think it's curvemag.com, go there, and there's information there. If you're interested in participating, they're looking for people.
Very good.
Excellent. Excellent. Excellent.
So you have, how many people do you say you have right now?
Say that again, Daniel.
How many people do you have right now for yours?
I have right now 21 people.
21. It's going to be 20. Is it going to be a 24-hour event, or is it going to be a 12-hour?
It's going to be probably around a 10 to 12-hour event. We also have Nicole Kahn, who is a renowned filmmaker, and her creative director are going to do a Q&A each in one of those time slots. So that's kind of cool because she's very well known in the lesbian film world. Nicole Kahn. So that's cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
great guest on the show, too.
So there's another piece to it. That's right. You had them on the show. Mm-hmm. You know, if your segment on this festival is 20 minutes, you can extend that segment on your own wall. It just means that people can go see other. You can, at your 20-minute mark, you just say, "Hey, if you're going to the next stop on the festival, you know, go. This is the person. You'll know who the person after you is. You go on there. But if you want to stay here and hang out with me." You know, you can continue your Facebook Live on your wall for as long as you want to do that.
Okay.
Very low tech.
Very low tech. Nice.
Low techers.
Yes. Yeah. No, that's always good. Yeah. Tech is good in a time like this, but definitely. And it's definitely what are your thoughts about being creatives at this time with the fact that, you know, a lot of the same creatives are, you know, like I said, being, you know, not able to do their day jobs, and if they were full-time creatives, you know, you definitely are seeing a drop in web traffic and et cetera, and people, you know, buying, you know, your art and things like that. What are some things that you can do, Sally, like to keep an even keel and kind of keep a positive bent? What do you say to that?
You know, I mean, you need money to live. You need money for food and housing. The one thing we have now, it doesn't mean we're not all going to wind up in debt, but there is a relaxation of, you don't have to worry about your lights being turned off. You know, our basic needs are hopefully going to be met by our government. There's stimulus checks that we keep hearing about that we hope are going to be there for people who are living, especially paycheck to paycheck. I mean, you know, you notice the drop, if you will, in fundraisers on Facebook because, you know, initially you think about doing an event on Facebook and the next thing you think is, who could use to benefit from this event? Because I'll roll in a little GoFundMe or whatever, Facebook fundraiser, and we'll give the money to the GCLS, Golden Crown Literary Society, or Children's
right.
Body Blog, whatever the case is.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even think that way right now. People don't have resources to cover their own needs, let alone consider giving things to other people. So we have to find ways that don't involve the exchange of money to help each other. It might
right.
be I'm an attorney and, you know, you got this letter in the mail or you're in the middle of selling your house and you're whatever it is and you need advice and I'm a realtor. Or I mean, I think if we pool together all our expertise and made it available to each other, which brings me right back to the keynote, right, where we all met, we have so much wealth in our beings, in our lives, in our relationships, in our connections, in our networks, in our experience and in our wisdom. And why should we hold it, give it away, share it? If somebody needs an editor and they can't pay for that editor because they have no money right now, send me a note. I'm an editor. I'll edit your book. I'll help you. You need a marketing, this, that, or the other, write me. I'll help you. You need your organization to regroup. I used to be a business consultant for 30 years. I'll help you. I'll coach your CEO. I mean, we all have our day jobs that we are either in, retired from, and all of the things that bring us to be the person we are. And to me, that is the magic bullet of humanity, is to share.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I think more than ever right now. I mean, and I have seen an explosion of folks I've never seen doing regular live streams and all kinds of things like that. Popping up everywhere, and yeah, they're playing music and they're, you know, talking, and yeah, just a shout out to Jason William Allen. Love the guy. His band was is scheduled at Imaginarium this year, but he's been doing daily stuff for one example, but it's great to see the folks that are reaching out.
Yeah, isn't it great, though? These are things we would not maybe have known about each other. We wouldn't have experienced about each other. And we're seeing all these that we're sharing, because we don't want to share doom and gloom. We want to share the stuff that matters to us, the things we love. And we want to share them with the people we love.
Right, right. And as far as sharing goes, I'm not going to put you on a spot here, Sally Ann, so... But you have some great music, and I love it. And are we going to be hearing you do any of that, or is that is that not something we're going to do in the show here?
I'd love to play some music. Sure.
All right. Excellent. Yeah, didn't want to put you on the spot, but we would love to hear from you on the music side, because you are just positive vibes galore. So, and
I don't know about that.
And the fact that Stephen loves music anyway doesn't matter.
That's true.
I always ask
Go
my wife, was
it,
that
Diane.
On key? I say to my wife, was that on key? She goes, well, it was pleasing to my ears, so I guess it was. I don't know.
Yep. I think you do. Absolutely fine.
That's my musical director.
Yeah. So if it's okay with you, go ahead and share something. Yeah.
You know, I want to do something a little serious first, if I could do a second later. Because
absolutely.
I have some parody songs I did that are comedic. But I want to do this song because I think we really have to love each other. And this song, it's a love song. It's written for two people in love. K.G. Lang inspired me to sing and learn this song. I refer to her as K.D.L., but I love her, and she inspired me. And so what she really inspired me to do is put my own spin on it, so it's not going to sound anything at all like the original. So I'll say that outright. And the song is Have I Told You Lately, and it's Have I Told You Lately That I Love You. It's a Rod Stewart song, and I think it's a beautiful song for all of us to just take in. I usually play my Taylor guitar, which is an acoustic electric guitar, which is, I love. It's my favorite guitar. But tonight I was called to this other guitar, and if it's okay, can I tell you where this guitar came from?
You bet.
Yep.
Your show, Sally Ann. Absolutely.
So I'm holding in my hand a 1942 Martin, model number 0-15. It's 78 years old. It's got scratches on it, and it's got some other little nicks and things on it. And it's mahogany. It's dark. It's one color, and it has one of those dark pick guards on it. And it's small, like me. And it's so easy and fun to play because it's not this big giant guitar you have to wrap your arms around when you got, you know, your arms aren't as long as Garth Brooks. So anyway, so I got this guitar. It's very special to me because it was gifted to me a few years back by my sister-in-law, Mickey's sister. Her husband passed away, my brother-in-law, his name was Hosea Hoopengarner, but we called him Hoop, and he was this country guy, and he was an ex-sergeant in the California Highway Patrol, and he had like this scruffy Kris Kristofferson beard, and he loved to eat, and when you cooked for him, he always told you how great everything was, so you always wanted to cook for him. And he had these really cool guitars, and he used to sing, and he could sing country music like nobody's business. And the guitar that I'm holding in my hand, he purchased when he was 12 years old, and he paid like $10 for this guitar. And it wound up in my hands, gifted to me by his wife, my sister-in-law. And that's what, that to me, that's the true spirit of giving and love. And this guitar lives on, and I already know who I want to pass it on to. And it's, you know, pass it on, folks, pass the love. This is what it's all about. So I'll try not to mess this up. I might make a mistake. I'll apologize now. And I have no idea what it's going to sound like because I'm using speakerphone on my phone, so let's see how it goes.
No problem.
All right. Hang on 1 second. I have to capo it. All right. All right. Here we go.
Very
fantastic.
Cool.
Yes. Thank you.
Love you all.
Thank you. Oh, we love you.
I can't see it, but my lighter's in the air.
United States, I love you all.
That's right,
dot.
Michael. Lighters, not cell phones, lighters in the air. Yeah. Important
virtual
station.
Waves, it's coming.
Well done. Thank you. That's
there
awesome.
You have it.
Live music. Live music on the Star Chamber show. Yeah, all y'all in the chat room, yeah, you better appreciate that. We don't do that too often.
Does that make it chamber music?
Oh. Oh.
I have a chamber pot song. Called Bidet, and it's a parody from Baby, Baby, Don't Get Hooked on Me. It's called Bidet, Bidet, Don't Get Hooked on Me.
This is the song of 2020. This, I've heard it. This is the song of 2020. This is going to be one of the biggest hits of the year. Yeah, and are you going to play it for us?
Oh, I'll play it whenever you want. Sure, I'd be happy to play it.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Get ready, folks. This is a treat.
All right. You want me to do it now?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Go for it.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll give it a whirl. All right. This one I'm going to dedicate to my friend Carol in the Berkshires. She got such a kick out of this, out of my Facebook Live. When I premiered this song on Facebook Live, you know, just as a spoof to kind of cheer people up, because it's a very silly song. The lyrics were written by myself and my wife, Mickey Neal, and Mickey played the tambourine off camera. She didn't want to be seen or referred to, but she's not listening to me tonight, so I'm referring to her, because she did do a great job with the lyrics as well. But I dedicate this to Carol, who got a kick out of it. I'm still hearing about how much of a kick she got out of it. So here we go. It's called Bidet, Bidet, Don't Get Hooked on Me. Thank you.
That is awesome. That's a song of the year in 2020. I'm absolutely convinced. And you've got to get that out on vinyl, at least a 45. I want to own that.
I know that JJ is an international word.
That is fantastic. I can't tell you how I play that song when you sent me the first a video of it earlier this week. I play that over and over again. I mean, I absolutely love it. It's great.
You know, the original tune is such a great, it's such a great tune, Baby, Baby, Don't Get Hooked on Me. I just love that song. And I sent it to a friend of mine. She's kind enough to listen to my music and let me know if she likes it. I got an email.
Nice.
And said, I can't get that Baby, Baby, Don't Get Hooked on Me out of my head. And I was wondering when she heard this version if it morphed into Bidet, Bidet, Don't Get Hooked on Me.
Nice.
Who knows?
And Kenzie from the chat room says that she was singing along. So, yes, we did have
sing
along from
the
chat room.
Way to go. I need a backup singer. I am me.
Michael West, volunteer, man. I want to hear you sing.
Michael. Come on, Michael. Yeah. On the spot parody.
Too
I'll
fun.
Give you the song,
oh,
you make
man.
Up the words.
Oh, my.
Oh, man. Yeah. I love that song. I love that song. Oh, too good. Thank you.
I
Thank
have
you
a new
for,
one I
yeah,
want
that.
To sing before I leave, but not right this minute.
Okay.
It's much shorter than the other two. The last one is very short, and it's to Dancing in the Moonlight, that song.
Uh-huh.
It's called
It's called
Dancing Out of Sight, since we can't really
nice.
Dance together anymore. Anyway, I'll maybe do that later.
Very nice, very nice. How do we follow that up? I mean, such a good,
I don't know. You want to do?
Song.
You want me to sing it again? It's that kind of song. You see, it's never gonna leave. It's gonna be in your head, bidet,
no.
bidet. Okay. Especially when you might be taking care of business. Who knows?
Yeah, we're giving our tips earlier
that.
On TV.
Taking care of business.
That's another good one, right?
Yeah.
Every day.
Oh, that's good. Yeah,
every
who
day.
Knew? Yeah, 2020. Yeah, yeah. White gold is teepee now. It's definitely the commodity at the moment. That's for sure. Oh man, what a year so far. But.
You know, you got to remember back in the old days, I don't know how old you guys are, but I'm 59, and it's like, you know, nobody got the message. There was, like, no alert going around saying, there's going to be a blackout. It's 1978. I don't know what year that was. It was the 70s, some 70s year. And we had New York City had a blackout, and we ran out of everything because everything got – stores had to close. There was no electricity. They weren't making stuff. Food spoiled. And it's like, back then, how did you find out the supermarket was out of toilet paper? Your neighbor called you up and said, hurry up, go to Super Duper, because they only had this much toilet paper left. But now, like with social media, I was in Costco before the big frenzy. It was like Mickey and I were right on the cusp because she knew. She had this vision to stock up, and in fact, we had an argument in the car where we have most of our arguments because we don't usually argue only in the car, and it was like, she's like, we have to go get toilet paper. I read about this, and I'm like, toilet paper, that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. So she goes, really? This is what's going to happen when we get into Costco. You're going for the toilet paper and the paper towels, and I'm going for the roasted chickens, and you better not come back without them. And I had to come back without the toilet paper. And I will not forget that moment of fear when I saw her face and she looked and saw there was only one package and it was paper towels. So it's, but you know, social media went wild, and they're like, now it's like toilet paper is at ABC store, and everybody who's in that area, everybody's running. There's running, there's line, there, you know, who knows what could happen. It's just a completely different world.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, but there are some alternatives. I'll bring this up just for some good humor, but Holly's father, who's 87, and of course he grew up in rural Kentucky, has regaled us with tales of his youth. And guess what they used back then? Corn husks.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
And corn cobs.
They did. Yeah, corn.
Wow,
yeah,
that's
corn
amazing.
Cob husks. Yeah. And, I'm glad we haven't resorted to that yet. I'm very
leaves,
glad.
Leaves, coffee filters.
Somebody the other day I saw was recommending that you buy, like, go and buy some flannel sheets and cut them into strips and then wash them on hot. And I'm like, I don't think we're at that point yet.
Well, Jason William Allen, the guy I mentioned earlier, he cracked me up because he said, hey, Stephen, he sent me a private message. He's like, Stephen, I'm out of toilet paper. He says, don't worry, though. I'm using my cats. Oh, no, Jason, no. No, he didn't actually use his cats for toilet paper substitutes. But it is kind of wild out there right now. Oh, man, too funny.
It sure brings you back. Basics and what really matters in your day-to-day life. I mean that from a comics, you know, like comedically, yes, but also, I mean, comically, but also seriously. It does bring you back to that, what really matters.
Well,
I retired and sold my business in 2016. I don't remember ever sitting down in the middle of the afternoon and watching a movie. I just didn't do it. I was always signing up for this, doing that, helping that person on this board, volunteering for that. I mean, busier than I was when I was working. And now, with all of this, the conscious mind is completely enlightened. It's like, oh, my God, okay, well, I have social media. I have my emails and my phone, so you can reach out to your circle of people, but it seems different now. Everything else is on hold, so maybe you're having conversations with your spouse, you know, that before you would have said, yeah, I'll be in a minute, I'm looking at this, and now I will stop and actually listen, which is something I didn't always do enough of in the past, so I think there's a lot of good coming out of it, you know.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
Yeah.
So who listens more, you or her?
I would say I do, and I think she would agree. But I'm the kind of person that could get on your nerves with the little stuff, like, huh? Huh? That went on for 5 years until I got hearing aids. So I happen to have a very patient wife, so it's hard to say. I, on the other hand, am less patient.
Yeah, mine just came home Monday with all of her computers and everything, where she's working from home now until further notice. And I'm expecting to die any day now.
I hope not.
I'm expecting her to kill me at any moment.
Just say yes, 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 honey.
Wow.
Don't ever say this
Mr. Jack
ever
the Ripper.
Again. What? Huh? Just nod. You nod. If you nod enough, you could pick up those clue words that remind you of what the person was saying, and you could maybe jump back into the conversation without being caught.
Well, I listen to her
advice.
As good as I can, you know, but I'm talking about, you know, I'm probably aggravating her to death right now, and she is probably going to kill me in my sleep. I've got enough big sharp knives around here that she can just I don't know what happened to him. He was up. He was sitting in the chair. I woke up the next morning. He's sitting there with a big knife in his chest. I don't know what happened. Here's one of his books. Read it.
I thought it was a fake knife. He does role playing.
You rolled over on it in your sleep, Daniel.
Mm-hmm. 27 times.
Listen. I don't listen.
You're a
restless sleeper.
My head
is always somewhere else.
Oh.
You're a good listener.
Fantastic. Well, I dived off real quick because I was seeing if I thought we had a caller on the line, but I could not get a connection there. So I don't know if it's a tech issue. Sorry if that happened. But I am back, and we are about at the 13-minute mark on the live show. So let me know when you want to do that last song, Sally Ann, because I definitely want to make sure you get that in.
I'll do it right now.
Okay.
How's that?
Yeah, we can.
And then she's going to read Orgasm, so.
Yes.
That one's 900. Daniel, calculate how long it'll take. It's 933 words, and the moaning parts take a little bit longer than the average word. So.
Nice.
So it'll take around the amount of, you sing the song, you go straight into that, we'll end the show.
I can do some moaning and howling right there, and I could give you half an orgasm. That would be, let me see, how many pages? Five and a half pages or a quarter?
In this age of social distancing, half is better than nothing.
And at my age, any is better than.
All right, I'll give it a whirl. I'll apologize for mistakes.
Right.
I haven't played the song much at all, so it's still a work in progress. And
not
it is a parody of the song Dancing in the Moonlight. You know, everybody here is out of sight, blah, 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 that song. The pandemic ain't no delight. Everybody's dancing out of sight. Everybody dancing out of sight. Everybody feeling it ain't right. You have to stay together, but not tight. Everybody dancing out of sight. Nobody wants to dance out of sight.
No. Nope. Fantastic. Yay. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Great song. I just mentioned in the chat room, I told them, you have to do a full album, Sally Ann. It's got to happen. I want an album. Oh, man.
Well,
yeah. I would play it like often. It would stay in my disc changer or turntable. I love tangible music, so it would be a CD or a vinyl that I would get from you. But yes, I want that. That's fantastic.
I know you know something about recording, Stephen. I may be contacting you.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I know some good folks too on the engineering recording side as well. So, absolutely. Wow, that is cool.
All right,
Michael, you're up next. So you can do your song now.
Michael, the song is So Into You by Atlanta Rhythm Section. Let's go.
Oh man.
No. I do not have a voice.
Yeah, the chat room is already grateful because I told them, I said, you're saying to sing along. I told them, I said, yeah, no, I'm sparing you all tonight in the chat room. Yeah, at home, I do sing along to Sally Ann's music and have several times already, but yeah, on the show, no, and you can thank me.
Listen, I was almost 59 years old. It's only been since December 21st. I say you have time, Michael.
Yes.
It will come when it comes.
I will definitely keep hope.
You'll hear the same song over and over and over and over again. And she can't go to Michael's anymore or the craft store. So.
Oh my God! I will keep hope then, Sally Ann. Thank you. I will maybe one day. I will rise and embrace a talent I never expressed or thought I had. Who knows?
Pick up Yoli.
Oh man,
that's a good one. Like that.
Oh God.
Thank you guys for having me on your show. I really enjoyed it.
Oh my God, yes. We needed it.
Awesome people. That was so really great of them. Really appreciate it.
Well, anytime.
Whoever's out there listening.
Yeah, we actually have, I know we do tonight. I know there's a lot of folks listening tonight for sure. Yeah, last week we had probably double our normal audience. Yeah, folks are definitely getting more time. So yeah, tonight there's definitely a lot of folks listening in tonight, and I hope they definitely connect with you because you definitely bring in the positive energy and you are going to be back on the show pretty soon because I am in full confidence that GCLS. We'll have a great conference this coming July, and we will be doing a whole show to talk about that. So, yeah.
As will the Imaginarium. That is the dream is that by July, we are all safe to hug each other and love each other in the manner in which we were used to, and that we can live our lives in peace and health. That is the hope.
Yes, I'm hoping that's kind of like the breakout month where we're all able to finally resume a full life again, and and I hope you guys with the GCLS conference and us and everybody will give people a good place to kind of emerge once more. So let's hope. But
we're connecting in ways we never connected before, and despite the horrific situation we're in, there's so many positives coming out of it. We're all seeing things so differently in our personal and business and colleague relationships. So the planet said stop, pay attention, and do things different. And this is our chance to reset. And I hope we get it, all of us, the entire planet.
Good point. Good point. Yep. And I hold that too. Michael or Daniel?
Yep.
Are we getting ready to sign out, or what are we doing?
Oh, we're just getting close to that point, unfortunately.
Okay.
But I do want to give Sally Ann a chance. She is gonna be. This is a special show because we wanted to lift vibes tonight, and she certainly has delivered in spades with some great music and of course her infectious energy. We are gonna have Sally Ann back in the near future for that GCLS show. But I do want to give you a chance, Eliane, to tell folks where to connect with you and follow you online, especially because April 1st, you're going to have a fantastic event online. And, yeah, go ahead and give all the ways for folks to find you.
Sure. And, you know, if anybody has a favorite song of theirs that they want me to try to make a parody out of, I'd love to hear it because that's a fun way to kind of play around with this stuff. So you can find me on Facebook, Sally Ann Monti, S-A-L-L-Y-A-N-N-E-M-O-N-T-I, even though my real name is Sally, middle name Ann, but that's a story for another day. Anyway, you can find me there. You can find me on my website, SallyAnnMonti.com. You could IM me on Facebook. You could find me on the Golden Crown Literary Society website, goldencrown.org. You could email me there, SallyAnn.Monti@goldencrown.org. That's about it.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And, yeah, April 1st, yeah, Holly and I will be there with bells on and whistles and everything we can bring to the table to participate
yep.
in the big event April 1st. And you should be getting some emails already because, yeah, I saw Sandy Lender was one that mentioned it. But, yeah, you definitely should be getting some more folks
yep.
coming in
we're
to participate.
We're filling up. We're almost full. So I want to get all those spots filled so I could do the schedule. And it's just going to be a fun day handing off to each other. I mean, isn't that what it's all about? God, let's promote and
yes.
love each other. Can't say it often.
You got
often.
It.
Reset, restart. Let's get it this
what
time.
What are you needing right now, Sandy?
Other. I mean, to the planet. I love you all, and I love you guys so much. Really, meeting you has been one of the defining moments in my life. All of you, all four of you guys,
thank
Holly
you.
Included.
Thank you.
I love you all.
And Daniel, you want to ask her one more thing, Daniel? Daniel?
Yes, I was wanting to know what is she needing? What is she looking for to round out the schedule that she's got for the first? I know she's got authors, she's got different things like that, but what else are you needing rounded out?
I would love to have someone talk to me. I would really love it if I could get one or two people to talk from the animal's perspective, your pet. It's very important that we pay attention to our stress levels for us, but we don't realize how it affects our pets. I have a very sensitive dog who's very connected to us and who gives us very clear signals. And I would love if we could have a couple of people, a vet or somebody who knows about animals, anybody who's fostered, anyone who wants to talk on this subject, talk about how we can keep an eye on our animals, help our animals, keep an eye out for illness that we may not otherwise see because we're stressed out, that kind of thing. How can we prepare, have enough food, the right food in the house, like meds on hand, that kind of stuff.
Hey, Stephen, who was it that we had recently that was like the animal whisperer that does books and stuff?
Man.
You know who I'm talking about?
Oh. Yes, yes, yes. I'm just drawing a blank right now.
Holly could tell right off the bat, but
I know. Sally Ann, it was one of your friends that was an author that was on the show just recently. Does the books about the cats, the panthers. My brain is drawing a blank right now.
My God, I sent them to you, and I don't remember either. Wow. Okay.
We'll get it. My brain is scrambled, folks.
Are you thinking of Karen Williams, paranormal author?
Yes.
Karen Williams, who is an award-winning animal viewer?
That's it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
She's not a dude. She's a mm-hmm. woman. That's
yeah.
what
yeah.
threw me off, because I was thinking of Gene from Jumpmaster Press, but I knew it wasn't him. Karen Williams.
No,
Karen.
No.
Yes?
Yeah.
I'm waiting to hear back from her. I put her on the spot already. Now she's even more on the spot.
Yeah, you've been announced now, Karen.
Oh, she was fabulous. Loved her on the show. Great guest. Fantastic. And yeah, we definitely are looking forward to catching back up with her again. But, yeah, she definitely, on the animal side of things, yeah, she'd be phenomenal. We will definitely, Sally Ann, I promise you, we will work in some fun Tux Twins stories for you. with Vicky and Albie, our two new 11 today. They are 11 months, just about today. Yeah, they're 11 months old. Yeah, so they are living here in the house and doing well. But we will work in some cat stories just for you
awesome.
On our segment.
Our animals are our kids, right? We love our animals. They're part of our family.
Yeah. You got it. But thank you so much, Sally Ann. And I'm going
to
go ahead. And I'm going to sign off. But you go ahead and give your final good night to everybody, and then Michael and Daniel will follow you, and we'll round this out. But thank you. Just love you, Sally Ann.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me. Stay well.
Stay safe and healthy, everyone, and good night.
And no matter what this world throws at you this week, what the government says, and you know what's happening with your personal life, remember, it will get better. Should we talk again next week? This is Daniel Dark signing off.